Take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to provide it for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word that provides us with the illumination we need to have in order to understand what's really going on here in the devil's world. And we see lately that it's in complete, total chaos and frenzy based on propaganda and lies. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit, that the information that is communicated will subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this thank you in Jesus' name, amen. A couple of passages relating to the circumstances of the day are Psalms 23, 1-6, where we have, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or have any needs. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters." And obviously our nation is not enjoying that at the moment. "He restores my soul and guides me in the paths of righteousness because of his name." So he does this because of who he is. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because you are with me, and your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness," that's our word chesed, that we generally translate unfailing love, "will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So here we see David's confidence in God on the basis of God's provision for him in spite of the adversities and the vagaries of life and the propaganda that the dark side throws at us. We have in Psalms 91, a passage I read previously, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivered you from a snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. And he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not approach you. You only look on it with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent." So these are promises that God gives to his people, and the problem we have in our country is too many people are unaware of them because of their negative volition to God's word. And it's hard to know how this thing's going to play out. But we know one thing for certain, that God is always true, and he will never fail. And so we just simply have to have confidence in him and wait on him to come through for us. And the implicit destruction that seems to be inevitable is probably not true, at least for our nation. Maybe somebody else, but not us. So we're presently in the study of a doctrine of evil that is a product of believing the false narrative of the public lie. And of course, that's pervasive today in a way that we have never seen ever, probably, in our country. This lie that Satan, the god of this world, fabricates and raises up in opposition to truth and righteousness that are a product of believing in the person and word of the living God of the universe. So all truth derives from God, his word, and of course that relates to Jesus Christ, who is the word of truth. At this point we're looking at Lewis Berry Schaefer's description of Satan's system in his Systematic Theology, Volume 2, pages 100 to 111. And picking up from where we left off last time, Lewis Berry Schaefer says, "It is noticeable that the term infidel has within a generation disappeared from common usage, and that that manner of open denial of truth has been almost wholly abandoned." So what he's saying here is, and of course this was written in the early 1900s. His theology was the basis for the founding of Dallas Theological Seminary. And it was written in a time of a reformation in our nation that had brought the nation back to a status of more orientation to truth. And, of course, that was the basis for the prosperity that we acquired during and after World War II that has now been abandoned, unfortunately. And now we're in the process of suffering along with the wicked, even though that need not be the case. And, of course, God's, as I've noted in David's experience, God's extent to which he permits the pestilence to play will be limited by his grace and mercy. And we have to recognize that. I did a chart here just a little bit ago the fearful people are thinking we're going to have 700,000 dead. I don't know when, but I did a chart based on the present rate of expansion, which is 20% per day. And 40 days from now, we'll have 100,000 dead. That's about what it works out to. And if it keeps going, obviously, it'll be worse, because it gets real big after that. But that tells you, I mean, the present rate appears to be about 20% a day in terms of deaths. And it'll be interesting to see if that path remains true or whether hockey sticks. I'm going to plug in real numbers alongside my estimation. But if we take control of this thing, we can obviously stem its tide, and that's what our president is attempting to do. So back to theology. Yet the real church has by no means lost her enemies or foes. They are now even more numerous. So the point here is the infidel is the opposition to truth in the church. So Satan has caused a circumstance where infidel has gone out of common parlance, but the concept, the effectual function of those persons hasn't changed. They are still infidels, and they're still in opposition to truth. So they're more numerous and subtle and terrible than ever before. These present enemies, however, like the unclean birds of the mustard tree, have taken shelter under her branches. So here we see how the church has become the home for the opposition. And that's very much true. And of course, the reason for that is false doctrine. They are officiating at her most sacred altars and conducting her institutions. These vultures are fed by a multitude, both in the church and out, who in satanic blindness are committed to the furtherance of the project of the acceptance of any theory that promises good to the world if it is apparently based on Scripture, little realizing that they are often really supporting the enemy of God. So here we have the concept of a counterfeit that presents principles of morality instead of spirituality. That's what he's talking to here. A counterfeit is Satan's most natural method of resisting the purpose of God, since by it he can realize that to that extent his desire to be like the Most High. Every material that is now at hand, as never before, for the setting up of those conditions which are predicted to appear only in the very end of the age. So again, Satan is trying to implement God's millennium in the devil's world today. And of course, that ultimately becomes the way that the tribulation gets ushered in as God exits his people out of here via the exit resurrection. In 2 Timothy 3, 1-6, one of these predictions may be found. And in the King James, this reads as follows. This know also, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So this is Paul. Remember, Paul is speaking here about the unbeliever and those believers who have failed to operate under the ministry of the Spirit, get sucked into the system of superficial spirituality that denies the power of God, which of course is the filling ministry of the Spirit and the Word of God. So they have a form of spirituality, but they don't actually have the truth nor the power. So this is all functioning under the old sin nature, and so it's all evil, even though it may not be sin in some cases, although many times it is. It's all evil. It's either human good or evil. The evil of human good, which is a right thing done, a wrong thing. Get this right: a right thing done in the wrong way, or sin, which is a wrong thing done in the wrong way. So that's where either those two categories, which are all product of the old sin nature. Every word of this prophecy is worthy of most careful study, in the light of the present tendency of society. The fifth verse is especially important in connection with the subject of the counterfeits of truth. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, Here it is stated that in those last days, forms of godliness shall appear, which, however, deny the power of God, and from such the believer is warned to turn away. So, in other words, this is a deceptive situation where the believer, if not careful, is going to be caught up in it by means of propaganda and think they're doing a right thing, but they're not, because they're doing maybe a right thing in a wrong way. The important element of the true faith, which is to be omitted from this form, is defined elsewhere in Scripture, which says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. So here we have the power of God that is related to the gospel of faith in Christ. So what these folks are presenting in their humanism, secular humanism, as do-gooders, is a system of morality minus spirituality, because they forget or reject the concept of faith alone in Christ alone. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 1:23 and 24, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So we have the new spiritual species that are comprised of both Jew and Greek who have accepted Jesus. They recognize the power of God and the wisdom of God. Therefore, that which is omitted so carefully from these forms is salvation which is in Christ. This is most suggestive, for there is none other name under heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved. See, the whole thing starts with a relationship with God through faith in Jesus. And without that relationship, nothing works. Now, it may appear to work for a while, and it may have standing before people, but it doesn't ultimately have anything at all if it's of any benefit. It's either done by an unbeliever, which means there is no righteousness whatsoever, or a believer out of fellowship, which means it's wood, hay, and straw. So it's burned up at the evaluation. So nothing of that category goes into the eternal state, because the only thing that can go into the eternal state is something that's a product of the ministry of the Spirit and the Word of God. And it goes on to say here in this passage, and it is by salvation alone that any deliverance can be had from the power of darkness. So it requires God's power for us to be extracted from the devil's lie and the lies he foments in his world. So that's the problem that we have here. So when they teach a morality minus spirituality, they're teaching human good that is actually evil, and it's describing it as good, which it is not. So without this salvation, Satan can still claim all his own. It is perhaps necessary to add that, judging from all his writings, the salvation of which Paul confesses he is not ashamed of, was no less an undertaking than regeneration by the Spirit. Of course, that's where we become that new spiritual species. And whatever other theories may be advanced, this is the teaching of the Spirit through the Apostle Paul. So the point here is for us to orient to what the Word of God says and submit to that reality, because that's the only way we take advantage of God's grace. This prophecy concerning conditions in the last days ends with an injunction which is addressed only to believers who are called upon to live and witness during those days. It says, to them, it is said, from such a form of godliness which that denies the power thereof, turn away. So, again, we are to witness that the error, which appears to be good, is an error. As certainly as the last days are now present, so certainly this injunction is now to be heeded. And the Lord's people are called upon to separate from churches and institutions who deny the gospel of God, saving grace, through the substitutionary blood redemption of the cross. Of course, we understand blood redemption would be better understood as the spiritual substitution of spiritual death. Remember the Old Testament metonymy for the blood is relates to the lamb, and of course that's transitioned into the substitutionary spiritual death of Jesus. And of course that's what occurred on the cross. It became the efficacious sacrifice for the sins of the entire human race. To support institutions or ministries which deny the power thereof, it is to lend a aid to Satan's enemy of God, Satan the enemy of God, with no less force, as it is stated in 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. So remember, in time of Israel, they had prophets. In our time, we have pastor teachers. So the prophets communicated the word of God to Israel, along with, of course, the priests. And in the church age, we have the pastor teacher who does that role, along with, of course, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So these people, these individuals, are among you, and they privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So we have here people within the community of the church who have rejected the truth. In the same manner, according to the passage, that this denial fails not only to the person of Christ, or fails not only to the person of Christ, but rather on his redeeming work, the Lord that bought them. It therefore follows that one feature of the last days will be a form of godliness that carefully denies the power of God in salvation. Again, Satan is in the latter times to be the promoter of a system of truth or doctrine, where it says in Timothy 4, 1 and 2, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, or the doctrine, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. These predicted satanic systems are here, accurately described. Their offers will be so attractive and externally so religious that unto them will be drawn some who shall depart from the faith, or the doctrine, they being enticed by seducing spirits. No reference is made here to personal faith by which one may be saved, but it is the faith of the body of truth, as it says in Jude 1:3, which is the first seen and to some extent and then rejected. This is a regenerate person. This a regenerate person will never do. These attractive systems are not only from Satan, but are themselves lies and hypocrisy, being presented by those whose consciousness have been seared in with a hot iron. No more illuminating terms could be used than these. A lie covered by hypocrisy means evidently that there are still attempting to be accounted among the faithful, and the conscience seared would indicate that they can distort the testimony of God and blindly point other souls to perdition without present remorse or regret. The doctrines of devils are again referred to in Revelation 2:24 in the Revised Standard Version as the deep things of Satan. And this is Satan's counterfeit of the deep things of God, which the Spirit reveals to those who love him, per 1 Corinthians 2:10. Thus there are predicted for the last days of this age both the form of godliness which denies the power of salvation that is in Christ, and a system known as the deep things of Satan, or doctrine of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy. Can there be any doubt that these two scriptures describe the same thing, since they also refer to the same time? The lies can only be the covered denial of the salvation of the other. Again, Satan has his assembly or congregational meeting, which is his counterfeit of the visible church. This assembly is referred to both in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 as the synagogue of Satan, an organized assembly being relatively as important for testimony of the deep things of Satan as it has been in the things of God. In Matthew 13, the tares appear among the wheat, and their appearance is said to be after sowing of the wheat. So also the children of the wicked one appear and are often included in and even organized within the forms of the visible church. The assembly of Satan, calling itself heart of the visible church, is to have its ministers and teachers. This is stated in 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, where it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and again no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Here is a remarkable revelation of the possible extent of the satanic counterfeit. False apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ and ministers of righteousness. Yet these are shown to be only agents of the great deceiver, Satan, who is himself transformed into an angel of light. It is evident that the method of this deception is to imitate the real ministers of Christ. Certainly these false apostles cannot be so appear unless they gather into their message every available form of godliness, that's in quotes, and cover their lives with the most subtle hypocrisy. Even evil will not appear on the outside of these systems, but they will be announced as another gospel or as a larger understanding of the previously accepted truth, and they will be all the more attractive and delusive since they are heralded by those who claim to be ministers of Christ, who reflect the beauty of the angel of light, and whose lives are undoubtedly free from great temptation. It should be noted, however, that these false ministers do not necessarily know the real mission they have. Being unregenerate persons of the cosmos, they are thus thus blinded to the real gospel. They are sincere, preaching and teaching the best things the angel of light, their energizing power, is pleased to reveal unto them. Their gospel is one of human reason and appeals to human resources. There can be no appreciation of divine revelation in them, for they have not come to really know God or His Son, Jesus Christ. They are ministers of righteousness, which message should never be confused with the gospels of grace. One is directed only at the reformation of the natural man, while the other aims at regeneration through the power of God. All this is true. How perilous is the attitude of many who follow attractive ministers and religious guides only because they claim to be such and are sincere, and who are not awake to the one final test of doctrine by which alone the whole convert system of satanic lies may be extinguished from the truth of God. In this connection, John writes the following warning: "If there come unto any of you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not unto your house, neither bid him Godspeed." So false teachers are usually sincere and full of humanitarian zeal, but they are unregenerate. This judgment necessarily follows when it is understood that they deny the only ground of redemption. Being unregenerate, it is said of them, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually concerned." That comes from 1 Corinthians 2:14, a passage we often reference. Such religious leaders may be highly educated and able to speak with authority under every aspect of human knowledge, but they are not born again, and their judgment of spiritual matters is worthless and misleading. So we'll pick up here next time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provided for us to study your word, and the blessing it is for us to acquire this information in view of the current circumstances on our nation. Recognize that the only thing that can properly deal with these adversities is the truth and grace that you reveal in your word under the ministry of the Spirit. Help us to recall and apply the doctrine that we need to have in order to deal with these difficulties, and guide and direct our leaders as they deal with them as well, and help them to make good decisions from a position of strength, that you might be glorified and your grace be extended towards our nation. We ask this thanking now in Jesus' name, amen.